About 20 years ago, the UU congregation where I was a member came to a fork in the road. And I thought it should go down path A, but the congregation decided to go down path B. Imagine that. Everybody always knows that A is better than B, right? Of course. Well, when the stewardship campaign rolled around a couple months later, well, I showed my displeasure with path B and the congregation by, you know what, I reduced my pledge a little bit. I did. No, really, I reduced my pledge a bit, and I thought, you know, I'll show them. At the time, I was working in sales for an engineering company, and I had taken all these MBA classes as a part of another graduate degree I was pursuing. So I thought that I understood that customer satisfaction is always paramount. The customer is always right. The products and services that we provide provide excellence for our customer. Our goal is always to satisfy the customer. Because if we don't do that, the customers might go elsewhere to our competitors who might be more attuned to customer satisfaction. Well, in this particular instance, I wasn't a satisfied customer. I didn't leave the congregation, thank goodness. A lot of people do that. Many dissatisfied churchgoers will do that. After many, many years of walking together, one false step in a direction they perceive to be the wrong direction, in a direction it's their opinion is the wrong direction. But in one false step, and they're out of here. We all know that's happened before, right? But it's as if their membership was living paycheck to paycheck. And there was never any establishment of goodwill or grace along the way that could be held in some kind of reserve account. Paycheck to paycheck. No will or grace to be drawn of from a reserve account that could be drawn upon in times of crisis and need. Nope, I'll be taking my membership and my pledge elsewhere. Thank you very much. Many years later, I find myself in seminary. And a professor asks, what is the meaning of membership? What does it mean to belong to a congregation? And I realized that I really hadn't given it much thought up until that point. I thought that being a member of a congregation was just something that you did. It didn't mean anything. It was just something you did. You signed a book. You're a member. But I hadn't thought about what the root of the meaning of membership is. But in a text in class I read, quote, membership in a congregation becomes synonymous with a covenant of commitment to the congregation's mission and ministry. Membership in the congregation becomes synonymous with a covenant of commitment to the congregation's mission and ministry. And I'm like, what? What does that mean? What does that mean? Where am I in that statement? Where am I? I think in light of my sales background and the MBA classes that you know, maybe, you know, if I have to make a pledge as a condition of my membership, then maybe, you know, aren't I a paying customer in some small way? What about me? I mean, by making a pledge and becoming a member, signing the membership book, I thought to myself, Dave, you're now entitled to all the benefits, privileges, and advantages and services set forth in the church's policy manual, including, but not limited to, all the beliefs, viewpoints, and preferences that I wish to hold and that everyone must agree with, even if those beliefs, viewpoints, and preferences change over time. And I'm also entitled to soaring music each and every week. And all the vegan, the vegetarian, gluten, and nut-free dishes that are served at an ever array of potlucks and church functions. And all the sermons must be soaring, erudite, beautiful sermons each and every week. I'm entitled to these things. And where only the hymns that are sung are only the hymns that have words with which you agree beforehand. And all the communications that will be sent to me are only the communications to which I'm particularly interested, and they will be communicated to me in a way, in a time, in a place that is convenient to me. And as an added benefit, Dave, you will also be entitled to a sustainable building, a beautiful garden, childcare, clean bathrooms, and all the fair trade and heavily caffeinated coffee you could ever possibly want. Sign me up. Sign me up. Okay, so I'm laying it on a bit thick, okay? I'm laying it on a bit thick. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But seriously, when I read membership in the congregation becomes synonymous with a covenant of commitment to the congregation's mission and ministry, you know, what about me? Where am I in that statement? The Reverend Michael Piazza says, being a member means taking off the bib, putting on the apron. Wow. Being a member means taking off the bib and putting on the apron. The act of joining us in membership shifts one's role from being a consumer to being a partner, a giving partner with us in our mission and ministry. Joining us in membership shifts one's role from being served to being of service. Taking off the bib, putting on the apron. That's a big shift for me. At the time, it was when I heard that, that's a shift. I'd simply been conditioned, I believe I'd simply been conditioned by our culture to always seeing things from the perspective of a consumer. And I'm used to getting what I wanted as a consumer. Friedrich Nietzsche said that our primordial orientation, our primordial thirst was the will to power. And other philosophers had other ideas. Many philosophers and theologians might say that our primordial thirst is the will for God, or the will for wisdom, or the will for happiness, or the will to meaning, whatever. Now, I'm sure I'm not covering new philosophical ground when I say this. I'm sure there's other long-forgotten or known philosophers who've posited this, but I believe our primordial thirst is the will to belong. The will to belong. To belong to a community that will accept you no matter what, that will accept you into something larger than yourself. The will to belong and to feel for oneself accepted and worthy of belonging. Worthy of belonging. And consequently, our greatest fear or our greatest loss is to be excommunicated, to be shunned, to be cast out, left behind, abandoned. We obviously are not all wired the same way. Some of us are introverts, others extroverts, some shy, some gregarious. We're not all wired the same way, but we are inherently social beings, and it's biological. Poet and professor Christian Wiman expresses a religious communal sensibility when he writes, from a Christian perspective, Christ comes alive in the communion between people. Without shared social devotion, one's solitary experiences of God wither into a form of withholding. Spiritual stinginess, the light of Christ growing ever fainter in the glooms of the self. Christian Wiman. We are inherently social beings, and our flourishing also extends through a communal religious sentiment. There are people here at Human, here this morning, I'm sure, who, despite not getting what they want here all the time, despite us being perfect, imperfect, despite us being flawed because we all inherently are flawed in some way, despite all this, they still have the will to belong. They still have the will to belong. They still wish to pay their pledge. Some wish to increase their pledge. Some will to increase their commitment to human, despite not getting what they want. Why would they do this? What might motivate some people at human and people here today to continue to have a will to belong, to continue to pledge, increase their pledge, and even increase their overall commitment to human? Why would they do that when they might not be getting what they want? I believe it's because they continue to believe in us. They continue to believe in you. They continue to believe in human. They continue to believe in our mission. They continue to believe in Unitarian Universalism. They continue to believe that we can do better. They continue to believe that we can be something new. Membership, writes René Noël Felice, is not something conferred upon one person by an already extant group of others, but a covenant among individuals to become something new. Membership is not something conferred upon one person by an extant group of others, but a covenant among individuals to become something new. I take that covenant very seriously. I take that very seriously. As a member of the extant group, I too make a covenant on membership Sunday with the new members. I take a covenant to encourage them, hope that they will make us something new, and that I will be in partnership with them in doing that. The question is, can we walk that talk? Are we differentiated enough? Are we secure enough in who we are? Are we courageous enough to allow our newest members to change us? Actually, courageous, I don't like the word. I'm just thinking about this now. It's not about courage. It's being selfless enough. Are we selfless enough to allow our newest members to change us? Yes, those beloved members and those re-members, and I'll clarify that phrase in a moment. Those beloved members and re-members who continue to remain here despite the disappointments, they also continue to believe that we, a new and ever-changing human, are the best hope to offer hope to a troubled and deeply divided world. To those who don't always get what they want here, yet who continue to have the will to belong, is that for me? Tell them I'm busy. That's great. So to those who don't always get what they want here, that you continue to have the will to belong, who continue to have the will to wear the apron and put down the bib, to those who continue to have the will to be of service rather than being served, I say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for believing in our mission. Thank you for understanding that belonging is bigger and always more fulfilling and transforming than consuming could ever be. And now a reading by Canadian UU, Liz James, and this is entitled Remembership, and this is to everyone. Today, you join in membership. This is a moment of excitement and possibility, And although I don't wish to pull you out of this moment, I need to talk to you for a bit about a moment in your future. There will come a time when we are not a community of excitement and possibility that is your true home. There will come a moment when you do not fit and we disappoint you. Memorize the feelings that you have in this moment, because you will need them months from now or years from now. You will need them in the brokenhearted moment to come when you realize that we, together, are not all that you thought we were. You will not fit, and if everyone fit, we would not be called to grow. This religion is not a thing that you join. It's a thing you are called to co-create. So prepare now for when we break one another's hearts. Know what will carry you through that, and know who will carry you through that. Be ready. Hold on to this moment and this memory for that time in the future when you are ready to turn away. Your moment of remembership will be one of the most precious parts of your journey as a Unitarian Universalist. Today, plant the seeds in your heart that will prepare you for it.